Hey guys, Working Class Bowhunter Podcast once again. Myself, Kurt Geyer, and
Austin Chandler.
We're doing the intros for the ATA episodes. So the ATA episodes are usually a little bit shorter episodes like that. So, and we're probably going to use, we're going to rapid blast these. So if this is the first one in the batch you're listening to, or in the middle of the batch ATA episodes, you know, we're using the same intro for all of them because they're kind of quick in your face episodes and, just, you know, certain products or stories or whatever it may be that we recorded on. But ATA was a good time this year. We had a ton of fun, get to see all our buddies. Doug rode the bull at PBR, had his make hunting great again moment. I mean, what else happened? There's a bunch of stuff going on. Some good meetings. We recorded a bunch of good podcasts.
I got to shake hands with some guys we'd never met before, got to maintain a bunch of existing relationships, and had a great time at ATA. Always look forward to that show.
It is a good time, man. And I always think, like, man, I don't know if we're going to do ATA this year. And then after we do it, I'm always glad.
It's always fun.
Always fun. Clint Casper came down. Our good buddy Todd Anderson came and hung out for a little bit. We just had a good time, man. Yeah. Positive vibes. Literally, I couldn't name one negative thing that happened if I had to. A lot of bums in Louisville.
That was the negative,
That's
I guess.
The negative.
Yeah, it was cold, but we got to eat some Krispy Kremes and ate some good barbecue one night. There's always good food down there.
Yeah, it was a good time all around. So if it's the same type of intro on all these ATA ones, we just figured that, you know, they're shorter episodes. We, you know, it gets the point across. And real quick, we just want to thank our partners. And we want to thank you guys for listening to our ads and supporting what we do and supporting our partners because they support us. And if they support us for as wild as we are sometimes, to me, I think that says they're pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Elite Archery, Big Tine, Scent Crusher, Old Barn Taxidermy, Camo Fire, Loophole Optics, HHA and HHA USA, Thermacy, Victory Arrows, Huntworth, Slick Trick, Spy Point Cams, Novix tree stands, and of course there's some more in there that are coming, or you know, that we're working with and that'll be popping back up in the year. But yeah, man, we just appreciate all you guys and supporting what we do, and you know, anybody that came up and talked to us at ATA was very flattering and very, very weird for us, but we appreciate it, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So let's just get to these. We'll cut the BS. Hope you enjoy them. Hope you want to check out some of these products. And yeah, Rapid Fire Blast, the podcast. 3-shot burst. Hope you like it. All right, boys. Another podcast here at the ATA show, 2022, Louisville, Louisville. Depends where you're from.
Where you're from and how you say it.
Yeah, we found out it's Louisville.
Louisville.
We're correct.
Louisville.
And we have Randy Stoppenhagen, not Copenhagen.
Nope.
But if you're trying to quit Copenhagen, hit Randy up because he probably has no advice for you. C3 Mitts. Thanks for doing the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Of course. So we got introduced by a lot of the people we meet at ATA show through Rubline and Chase Rawlson and all our good buddies here, Rubline Marketing. Also, shout out to them for hosting us inside the Rubline media room.
Yeah, another year. I don't know why they keep inviting us back.
We must be doing like either two things. We're doing a good job.
Which is...
It's a possibility.
It may be.
Or they feel bad for us, and so they feel like they have to invite us back.
I think that's it.
Just so dumb. It's like the circus that you can't help but go look at.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
It's like, man, you know, they're good kids. Try to help them out.
So if you've got some inside skinny, I've only been with them now for a year. So if you've got any dirt, I need it.
Okay. We'll talk after the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll edit that part out, actually. Chase is kind of an earshot. He hasn't noticed that we're looking at him. We'll keep it that way. He's busy. C3 Mitts, man, you just came by and kind of gave us like a quick rundown on the process.
Quick little tour of it.
Yeah. And I think let's just do a full breakdown. And let's start with the obvious first, and then I want to talk about the company and how you thought of it and all that too. But first things first, let's talk about the product because that's what people want right out the rip. And one, I love the idea, but we talked before this, like we need to bring up that people see this product and like hardcore archery guys or hardcore bow hunters and might have like maybe a little turned off, I guess, with something being on the bow, like on the grip.
And, you know, you're aware of that, like, shock factor at first.
Yeah, I mean, as a bow hunter myself, people look at that and they're like, three things. It's either going to make me torque my bow, it's going to hit the string, or there's going to be some arrow problems.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
to be honest, that's the exact same things I thought when I seen it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But when we designed that, the way that was thought up, I'm an archery hunter. I hunt whitetails up in northern Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And it's normally minus 20, minus 25.
Brutal.
And
that's
rough. And I use a muff. I mean, how many of us use a muff to keep our hands warm?
Right.
Or our pockets? Okay. So I used a muff, and I went back to the hotel that night because I got tired of grabbing a minus 28-degree instrument.
Right.
Hoping that the deer would give me an opportunity to shoot. So I took my muff, which was $40-$50, and I cut it in half. Then I cut a slice in the bottom and the top, put it around the bow, went down and got a stapler from the office, stapled it, and I went out the next day because I'm just a relaxed fingered shooter.
Yeah, sure.
So it worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, it's got to be adjustable. I knew I had something.
Yeah.
But it's got to be adjustable. It's got to be able to fit everybody's hand size because we all have a different hand size.
Yeah.
And we all palm our bow differently.
Mm-hmm.
Some are high wrist, some are open finger. So I sat down with the seamstress 5 years later after I thought of it. 5 years, I was like, I got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through 2 years of testing, and we went through 8 prototypes to make a piece of cloth with insulated value fit around any bow and accommodate anybody's shooting style. Then we went out and tested it for 2 years. Then I brought it to market.
I love it. I think the idea is cool.
It is.
I was shocked by it first because I'm one of those guys, like, I don't want to say I'm over paranoid about, like, my bow setup, but, like, when I'm on my hunt, if I have to put my bow on my backpack, like, I'm freaking out about everything, maybe more than I should, but
going to just, like, adding stuff to your bow that,
yeah,
you know, the more shit you add, you're just like, God, do I really need that?
Right. Yeah, but also when we're talking, like, I shoot, the release I shoot, it, and I guess we're jumping ahead here, maybe we're not, but I don't really wear gloves when I'm bow hunting, or at least when I feel like I'm going to get a shot or whatever like that. I might put a glove in my left hand and then throw my right hand in my pocket with my release.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times, if I don't have, if I'm using a regular muff with, like, hand warmers in it, I don't have any gloves on, but then it's freezing cold outside. So if I get a deer that comes in and I grab my bow, and if I get caught, like, you know, they look up and do the whole head bob thing, and then I'm just, like, sitting there, and then my hand's black. I got black hand, and it's just, like, my fingers are breaking off. Black foot.
Right.
But black hand just sounds black a little racist. So I mean that. My bad.
Like the movie.
I didn't mean that.
I got it.
It's not like blackface. It's just, you know, whatever. So, anyway.
Moving along.
Moving along. Hey, hey. See what I did? So, yeah, I just kind of suffer through it. And I don't know. I just thought it was part of it. But anyway, like, this fixes that. If I get caught and I don't have to worry about bulky gloves on my release hand or on my bow grip hand.
That's the big advantage for me, like, as a whitetail hunter in Illinois in the wintertime. I mean, November you can tough it out with some thin gloves, but mm-hmm. by the time December rolls in, you've got to put those heavier mitts on. So then you got to think, all right, release go over or under this. Do I take it off in the heat of the moment, or do I try to learn how to adapt and shoot with it on? And this system kind of solves some of those issues, I think.
Exactly. Well, 5 years ago, that came on the market. I got a patent on it, and then we moved forward. Well, going out and doing shows, I had people that, okay, now I've picked up a crossbow, or I also rifle hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I shotgun hunt ducks. Can you make something for me?
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, we went back, and we sat down, and we designed a set of mitts that'll fit on a shotgun, a rifle, a crossbow,
mm-hmm.
and that bow mitt. This mitt is called a multi-mitt.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an elastic band. You can either put it over your wrist if you're a bow hunter.
Mm-hmm.
It protects your release.
This is going on your shooting hand.
Exactly.
On your,
yeah.
Be yep. My right hand.
Yeah.
Right. And then when the moment comes, you slide your hand out, take the shot, rotate your hand back in. But it can also go on the back of a shotgun, rifle, crossbow.
Yeah, just on, like, the stock area.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why we call it the multi-mitt.
Show it off here. Yeah. And also, I was putting my hand in there, and you're like, feel that little...
A little pocket in there?
Dingle dong in there. Yeah, there's like a pocket for a hand warmer in here.
Right.
So, yeah, not only are you out of the wind, but you can throw a hot hand or whatever.
Right.
like it because in late winter you could wear your light glove setup that you run all season if you're out, you know, outside of it working in the tree stand doing whatever, mm-hmm. and wear those light gloves and then stick them in there and you're good to go. I mean, yeah, you can wear your same light season glove setup with this.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of that. It's always just hard because my release, I shoot the Scott Hex, which is it's a back tension release, but it's like cut off and then there's like it's hooked to like a regular caliper style strap.
Okay.
So I rely on the strap to not have it fall off my wrist, and I keep it tucked in to its own strap, and then when I'm ready, I pull it out and I can get ready, but it hangs loose. And I just, for the glove with the back tension, I don't want that extra thickness when I'm mm-hmm. shooting, so that's why I never wear a glove. So that's handy to have that. But, yeah, I just always have to worry about getting cold. And then it's hard to get warm back up if it's that brutal cold.
Right.
So.
Well, and if you don't want it on your wrist, you can take that elastic and you can buckle it to your belt loop. So that way you can sit there. And that's another thing. I'm sure everybody's experienced letting go with the death grip. Mm-hmm. Like when you have your bow in your lap, like mm-hmm. the first hour,
yeah.
all of a sudden you make a mistake and you take your hand off. Where does your bow end up? 20 feet on the ground.
Yeah.
That mitt, the fact that it's attached around the bow,
mm-hmm.
just the weight of your hand inside the mitt, you don't have to keep a death grip on your bow, and the bow will right. stay right in your lap.
Gotcha.
So you're not sitting there constantly, you know, keeping a death grip on the bow. That was me. Sorry, guys.
It's all good.
That's my damn phone.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Hey, not the first time it's happened.
Shit.
We've had crazier stuff happen on the podcast.
That's true.
No, I think it's great,
man. Who can it be now?
Yeah. And answer it. Let's put them on blast. You're interrupting us.
Yeah, I'll get right back to you.
I'm busy. But this is like, for guys that hunt brutal late season, like Ross, our buddy Ross Bigger, another co-host of our show who's not here because he's hunting, should be hunting. Better find out.
He better be hunting.
He better be hunting.
He better be.
But he's a late season guy. So these fit in even more for him. Or like our good buddy Johnny Utah was just up in like Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah.
It was like negative 22, negative 30 degrees up there.
Like negative 33, he said.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah, but see, I dig that.
Yeah.
I mean, with the facial hair, I mean, by the end of the day when I get out of the tree, this is all ice. And it's like, hell yeah.
It looks cool.
It is. It's cool. I mean, to be able to sit there all day from sunup till sundown in minus 28 on a little metal platform.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
I mean, to me, it is. I mean, I don't know, and that might be sick to some people, but nah. I enjoy the challenge of being out there to see if I can endure.
It's the man shit.
There you
it's
go.
The man shit.
It's the man shit.
Yeah.
So what when you bring the mitt to just other consumer shows and people see it for the first time, what's like the general reaction at first?
It's going to hit the string.
Yeah.
Or it's going to make me torque my bow.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you've had your hand in there for a while.
Yep.
So what is your palm? Is there any interference?
Well, I wonder if we can get this on the camera. No, there's no interference.
We can do. I can do some overlays later. We'll do a shot, and I can get in there with the camera.
But it's kind of cool, though, because, like, inside the mitt, your actual riser is open.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like an actual glove where it could be the glove on the riser.
Yeah, that's important to clarify that. Yeah,
right.
You're grabbing your bow grip.
You're grabbing your...
Yeah, it's an early season setup. I mean, it's like you're shooting... Like I said, you can shoot with your light glove and still shoot that
My
system.
My hand right
sense.
Now on the grip is the bare aluminum of the bow.
I guess the best way to look at it is like one of those climate-controlled domes you see. That's what it is for your hand and your bow.
Right.
Your bow grip, honestly. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
When you slid your hand in there, your fingers go into a finger pocket.
Yep. Yep.
That's there for two reasons. One, when you're carrying your 10-degree bow or minus 15-degree bow into the woods, it keeps that metal off your skin.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And two, when it's bitter cold, you can activate a hand warmer. The mitt has 200 grams of thinsulate,
mm-hmm.
so it's good for the normal person to about 28 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you activate a hand warmer. It'll be 80, 90 degrees in that mitt all day long.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's
crazy. Cool. I do like that, though. I think that's important to show that. Let me see this, baby. When you do grab it, you're not... Because it looks like, if you don't know how the inside is, you would think that you're holding your bow grip inside this big, like, puffy
pillow.
You
would think, mm-hmm. you would think you're holding it like this.
Right, yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Right. That's what you think when you first look at it. But actually, it wraps around your riser or your grip where your grip is actually exposed in there.
Yeah. But, yeah, most people are just like, that's going to hit my string.
Right.
Right.
And originally, the very first gen, that's the third gen mitt. The very first mitt was actually an inch longer.
Oh, really?
Oh, gotcha.
It was an inch longer because I wanted to make sure that coat made really good contact.
Mm-hmm.
And it still didn't interfere with anything. But what happened was with a shorter brace height bow, they'd swing that mitt around and they'd go, see, it's going to hit the string. It's going to hit the string. I'm like, if you're that locked out, that string is going to hit your coat sleeve.
You got before other issues, brother.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And as you can see, the mitt angles away from the bow.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, hold it up here, Eric, for cameras.
Yeah, I mean, the bus cables do not matter.
Yeah, yeah,
and
right.
And it doesn't matter what drop away you use. There's no interference. There's no torquing issues. All that's doing is keeping your hand nice and warm so you can concentrate on why you're out there instead of how bad your hands hurt.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense because if you shoot a drop away when you, the rope comes to your cable, it's on the opposite side of where the mitt is anyway. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. I get the, you know, it's we talk about, like, the scent products. There's a lot of, like, skeptics on scent products and stuff like that. But I think anything new or anything that might be a little, like, shocking that attaches to your bow, sure. You're going to have the same
reaction,
sort of skeptic outlook on it.
Right.
Which,
I mean, it's expected. 5 ounces.
Yeah, right.
It only weighs 5 ounces, and it's, I mean, to me, if I can be out there an hour or two longer when everybody else is like, I'm packing it in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In fact, I've had guys come up and go, if it's that cold, I'm not going out there. I'm like, why would you not be out there if your tag isn't filled?
Yeah, you're missing a good hunt.
Yeah, it was like, well, this product isn't for you then.
Well, how much have you spent on your coat? How much have you spent on your pants? Mm-hmm. How much have you spent on everything else to keep you warm? Yet the most important part of the whole thing is the hand to the bow.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're like, suck it up.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't get it.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. But, no, I think it's good, dude. I see this as, you know, I hunt late season, but I try to tag out before
it gets that cold out.
Before it gets too cold. I mean, but if I had an open tag, I'm hunting.
It's definitely got its place in the late season for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But guys like us that have their ironclad ritual that we've used for, you know, 6 years, 7 years, however long, we're reluctant to add anything new to the system that might, you know, be something foreign and something more to learn. But in the late season, this thing's definitely got its place.
Oh, 100%. I would say, you know, if do you do a lot of consumer shows and stuff like that?
Yeah. In fact, up until COVID hit,
right.
I would leave January 4th from Nampa, Idaho. Mm-hmm. I'd come here. Then from this show, I'd go out and do a consumer show every weekend till about April 15th, and then I'd go back home.
Okay. What ones do you have on the roster? Because what I'm getting at here is there's people that are going to listen and watch this, even though we're explaining it, and still be a skeptic, which, right, whatever. I kind of get it. But what I'm getting at is, like, can they come see this at a show?
In person,
and then actually feel it out if you have consumer shows planned?
That's a great question. No. I mean, now that I'm with Rubline, part of it is trying to explain the story through social media, Facebook, doing podcasts, other things like that.
Sure.
And we've got a lot of videos. If you go to the website, I mean, there's testimonials, there's videos on how it's installed, slow motion videos on the shot so people can see that it's not going to do anything to affect
the
shot.
Paranoia. Right, yeah.
Exactly. But what I tell people to show is give me just one arrow. We've run some great sales throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we had one sale for $24.95 with free shipping. I would send them that mitt.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one arrow. You'll see for yourself that it does nothing. That arrow is going to go exactly where it did before you put that mitt on your bow.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, for $24.95, if you've ever dealt with the cold, why wouldn't you try that?
Right.
You know, you say that. I could have used this like a week ago when I was on the back of a snowmobile holding my bow.
And
it was fucking cold. Sorry, use the F word on your podcast. But, I could use that.
Yeah.
Because, man, that sucked. I mean, I had gloves, but then at a certain point, then I got sweaty.
Yep.
But the gloves are different because I didn't hold my bow the whole time, you know? But, like, the point when it was like, hey, we found a lion track, we got to get into this area, into this ravine, and I'm hiking with my bow on my hand, and, of course, I'm ready to shoot if I had to be ready to shoot. So I probably got ready too early to shoot for that lion because I had my gloves and stuff off already, my release and all that on. So, but, yeah, I mean, that would have saved my ass probably. Mountain lion.
Where were you at?
Wyoming.
Really?
Yeah, we were in I rented an Airbnb with my buddy Devin in Star Valley area.
Okay.
And then my buddy Trey Heiner lives out that way and has a outfit, Double Diamond Washakie Outfitters.
Did you get a good one?
Yeah, I think it's a good one. He said it was a good average cat. And,
good.
Yeah, I'm I'd never seen a mountain lion in person until then.
So you went out on a 5-6 day.
Well, you're gonna laugh at this. So we went out for the holidays.
I don't want to hear it. Actually,
well, we went out for some. My buddy, he's one of my good buddies, Trey Heiner, out there. He's like, hey, come out this winter and bring your family out. We'll go tubing and go sleigh riding with the horses. He's got a bunch of horses. He's like, hey, we'll try and lion hunt for a couple days. I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm in, of course. So my buddy Devin came, got an Airbnb down there with the family. And I'm talking to my buddy Trey. I'm like, is it possible to maybe get a shot at a lion in one day? Because the family's here. I drug them up. We did the 20-whatever-hour drive it is with the weather.
You don't want to be away from them for 5 days.
Well, yeah, I don't want to be like, all right, honey, we're going to hunt lions for 5 days straight.
See you at dark.
Yeah, sorry. So oops. Trey's like, yeah, I think we got a pretty good chance. You know, we could probably get on one just from, you know, what he had been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got one in a tree late on the first day and shot one. That's the quick condensed story.
Well,
yeah,
I've got a nose to tail 8'6", just missed Boone Cougar.
Really?
Yeah, in Idaho with a buddy of mine. 4-year odyssey.
No kidding.
I can't tell you how many ravines and waist-deep snow, up and down, up and down.
See,
that's a small female. Let it go.
Yeah, mine's not that big. Mine's not that big.
Oh.
It's
a nice representative of the species. It's a nice cat.
I'll show you a picture just so you can either talk shit to me or praise me.
Well, and yours was a one-arrow cat, right?
Yeah.
Mine, 5 arrows.
5 arrows.
Okay, the guy had never... That's a nice cat. There's nothing wrong with that cat.
No.
That's a good cat.
I'm definitely not saying. That's what Trey said. It was a big female, actually.
Yeah.
So he's like, dude, that's about as big as a female's going to get. Shoot it, you know? And it, of course, it was a legal cat. Didn't have kittens or nothing like that. Or I don't know if you call them kittens. Kuglets.
Cubs.
Kuglets.
What?
Kuglets?
You're an idiot, Eric.
Where the hell did you come up with that?
Listen, this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, lay off the sauce, would you?
Yeah, lay off the sauce. I'm being an idiot. Yeah, didn't have any offspring.
So the guy that took me had never taken a bow hunter before.
No kidding.
And he was so freaked out that there'd be all these arrows sticking out. And then when the cat came out, the dogs would get all cut up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I look over. First of all, we get in to where this cat is. And he goes, dude, kill that cat. That is a hell of a cat. I'm like, okay. Right. Dogs are barking. Chaos is going on.
It is chaotic.
I look up in the tree, and I'm standing on the steep ravine looking straight across at the cat, and it's facing away from me. He goes, come on down here. So I get to the base of the tree. The cat's 40 feet up in the tree. I'm like, okay, I can put it right in here and bring it right out here.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. I said, and I look over, and he's starting to assemble a mountain rifle. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to shoot that cat if it comes out of the tree with a bunch of arrows. And I'm like, do not shoot that cat. I said, we're fine. We're good. So I get down. I crank it back, and I lean almost into the hill. And I let down. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the shot. Everybody ready? Here we go. Right where I was aiming.
Yeah.
Cat just sits there. All of a sudden, Tyler's screaming, shoot him again, shoot him again, shoot him again.
I'm freaking out.
And I'm like, it's dead. It doesn't know it. He goes, shoot it again. So it's his dogs, it's his deal. So
yeah.
I knock a second arrow, boom, same spot. Now the cat gets mad.
Yeah.
Cat turns, starts down the tree. Hit it again, hit it again. I'm like, and this all happened like in 15 seconds. So I'm like, I knock a third arrow. He's coming down the tree. I break his shoulder. I thought I could slip it in here, but I hit his shoulder, and I broke his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
So he turns around, and he's clawing at the tree to go back up, and he sits on a limb. And then he puts his front legs over the limb. And Tyler goes, fuck! And I'm like, what? And he goes, you got a 40-foot extension ladder? He goes, there's no way to get up this tree. He said, you have to flinch that cat.
To get him out of the tree.
Yeah. I'm like, and it was a long way in there, and it was awful. And I'm like, all right. So I knock a fourth arrow. And I cut a slice that long in the tail, and I drove that thing right up its ass. I mean, right to the knock.
No kidding.
Well, then the cat went, and Tyler's like, hit him again, make him flinch. So I took my last arrow out of my quiver.
Holy smokes,
and I unscrewed the broadhead, threw it on the ground, aimed right for the back of his head, neck area. Boom.
Just to get him to like.
Yeah, and he hit the ground deader than a doornail. And
holy
Tyler comes up and he goes, oh, hell of a cat. And, of course, the dog's got to do their thing and get at it, you know, and there's a reward. Tyler goes, you've got to full body mount that cat. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
He goes, here, I'll help you. So we skin it. He goes, okay, see you later. He clips his dogs up. Back up the mountain he goes, down a ravine, and of course I could find my way out.
Yeah.
But I was spent. I mean, it was 17 degrees. We'd been out all day.
Oof.
I rolled this cat up, zip it to, and I'm like, you couldn't even carry my bow.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, here we go. So slipping and sliding, tripping, logs down, can't see where you're stepping, covered in snow.
Yeah.
I finally get up to the top where he's sitting. He's like, you ready to go? I'm like, yeah. And my legs were like lead.
Mm-hmm.
So we get on the machine. We get to the hill. He's like, you're going to have to walk down. I'm not taking the machine down. It was all snowy. You know? Okay. So I literally slid down the hill.
Right.
Yes. So finally, I mean, we get out of the whole ordeal. But to hear your story where, I had 2 days and I got in.
Yeah.
I mean, I just had another buddy went out for a 6-day cougar hunt.
Yeah.
First day.
Yeah.
First day. Well, and he didn't even shoot it with his bow. Because his bow didn't arrive, neither did his hunting clothes. He did it in civilian clothes.
Damn.
So I'm like, what if?
Well, that's my buddy Trey is like so Western, a real cowboy. And what's he's 32, 33 right. years old. But when you meet him, you would never guess that because he knows so much about so many things in the West. Like, he's one of the most fascinating human beings I know.
Hmm.
He's so young, but you would think he has the knowledge of an 80-year-old dude of just all the experience
all
he has.
All different stuff, too.
I always joke around and say, like, when you're in the West doing Western shit, Trey Heiner is, like, your safety blanket. Like, if you get in a sticky situation, you want Trey with you because he's going to stay calm and he'll get you out.
Right.
And the confidence he has, like, we'll get one in the tree. Like, he just knows the mountains. That good that he just was that confident. Yeah, dude, we'll get you one in the tree. He goes, whether or not you want to shoot it, that's up to you. And I told him, I was like, dude, I've never seen a mountain lion. If we get up there and you're like, hey man, maybe you should let this one go, let's find another one, then I'll listen. But if you don't tell me that, I'm shooting it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And he said, good average cat, shoot it.
Yeah, that's a once lifetime deal.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been offered to go, but it's, you get one cat, it's like, how many cats do you have to kill?
Yeah. I'll go with buddies now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm looking for. Because it is absolute chaos.
It is.
It is so crazy. It's so fun. It's a different type of, like, adrenaline. Like, I don't know how you felt. You had to hike out to, like, beat you down a little bit, it sounds like. But when we got back to, like, the main route in and out of the backcountry there, I was still shaking.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, this, like, adrenaline of the shot, it stuck with me for, like, 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
And I kept telling him, like, dude, I still feel like, you know that feeling after you shoot a deer in the tree stand?
Yep.
For, like, a half hour, you're, like, kind of, like, lightly convulsing or something a little bit. Like, I kind of had that. It stuck with me longer. And I think it's just, like, the pressure of the arrow and, like, the chaos. I think that's what.
And well, it's a 100-and-some-pound cat.
Yeah, you're eyeball to eyeball with a predator within 15 yards of it. I mean, it gets you jacked
up. You know what's weird, too? Like, you know, I have a house cat and whatever. A mountain lion is just a fucking gigantic house cat.
They're like the same
animal. They're just way fucking bigger.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrifying.
And if you think about it, like, a house cat could fuck you up if it wanted to.
Try to get your house cat inside the little pet carrier to take it to the vet. Have fun.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Now,
I'm looking for a picture of my cat. And
how much did you say it weighed?
My cat was probably 160 to 170.
Mm. That's a huge cat.
That's big. Yeah, mine 100 to 115, we were guessing, a big female.
What's a Boone and Crockett skull on a cat?
It's I know Pope and Young is 13 and 8/16.
Why do I think 18?
No, did I say 18?
No.
You said 13.
16 is Boone and Crockett.
Okay.
No, is that right? No, that's not right.
And skulls are in 16s,
I thought
right?
It was 18. Cause
no, the world record's in the 16s, I believe.
Really? Okay.
I'm probably way off.
I don't know.
I looked it up recently. I looked
it
up. Hey,
Pope and Young's out there. Should we go grab him?
Yeah, hey, get in here. Get in here.
We got to settle something right now.
Well, you said your cat was real close to Boone. That's a huge cat.
Yeah.
So are you going to full body mount it?
I have to.
I'm glad I did. In fact, what's cool is I lived right pretty close to my taxidermist.
Right.
So I helped with every step. I helped make the form.
That's awesome.
We cut all the legs off, positioned it. I've got it coming down a rock, looking out in the room. Well, that's then I had bought a house, and I have an elk, and the elk's turned like he's just about ready to bugle. Well, when I set him up in the house, I didn't mean to, but the cat's looking down at the elk, and the elk's looking up at the cougar.
Oh, that's cool.
It worked out perfectly. It worked out really nice. So
the world record in weight is 276 pounds.
Holy moly.
Which is stupid.
Where's that? Where the hell was that thing shot?
Probably California. World record cougar in British Columbia, Canada, 1979. Score 16 and 4/16 is the Boone and Crockett world record on Charles M. Travers, 1979.
I don't know anything about cats, but I would assume that's a giant cat.
Yeah, that's a big cat.
And I don't know what mine will go. I don't have it ready to measure, but I don't care.
Right.
I shot a mountain lion. That's cool.
That is cool.
That's beautiful. See, I want to do something similar to that with the snow and all that.
Man, that's awesome.
I don't know if I'm going to do the mouth open or like a pant. I don't like the aggressive.
Oh, yeah, all muscled up. And
yeah,
looking
I'm
going like
to eat you every time you walk in. I'm going to eat you. It's like, oh, you're still mad.
You've been like that for 20 years.
We get scared by Michael Waddell in the studio. Think that thing's in there.
We have a cardboard cutout of Michael Waddell in the studio, and every time.
It scares us every time we walk in. You think there's a person.
We don't need
there.
A mountain lion hunting us every time we go in.
Yeah, right. We need both. But we need to tell him that when we're here. But it's him when he did the old team real tree jerky.
Yeah.
And there'll be people that walk in the studio and be like, hey, man. And then walk into the other room and be like, oh, it's just a cardboard cutout.
People like walk in, they wave at him because I think he's an actual person.
So stupid. It's awesome. Well, dude, this was fun, man. We get to share lion hunt stories and talk about it. So I hope the year goes good. I hope people give it a shot.
Yeah.
And I think they will.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I ask is just give me one arrow. Be open-minded. Come at it with an open mind. I mean, when the first compound bow came out, I can guarantee you, I've talked to old-timers, and everybody went, there's no way.
Wheels are for cars. That's what we always
say. Exactly. You know? Yeah. So everything at one time is new. I mean, if this was a tree stand, you'd be asking me, why is this one better?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This has never been seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But yet, it's not like I just brought it to market. I'm a bow hunter. I would never bring something to market that would hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And all I ask for is one arrow.
I think that's very
one
fair,
arrow
man.
When it's negative 20.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a big difference right there. Or if you're going on a lion hunt, get a mitt. Keep your dick beaters warm while you're out there and you got to shoot a lion.
That's right. Keep your DBs warm.
We don't need any dogs getting killed because your hand was numb and you couldn't shoot for worth a shit. And it sounds like get a good guide.
Yes.
Don't go with whoever you went with.
Well, in fact, he told me.
I'm sure he's a good dude.
Oh, but he's like, what is with you? But everything, my elk,
like,
mule deer, whitetail, it's not easy. You hear stories where somebody goes out and sits on a stump. And the deer happens to walk by. Yep. Oh, look, it's a booner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nah, that ain't never happening to this guy.
No. Hell no.
Everything I've ever killed, it's been a
struggle.
Yeah.
Been a train wreck.
Listen, they're not always easy, but when they, and I'm not saying my cat happened easy, you know, easier than what some people have. Yeah. But I wasn't out in civilian clothes. And I was like, there's a lion, you know.
There's a lion.
Like, there's a little bit of suck to it. But when you get those first day opportunities, you got to take them because it doesn't always happen that way.
Right.
So I'm happy.
Good for you, man.
Awesome, man. Well, where can people find you online, website?
Go to c3mitts.com, or the parent company is Better the Hunt Technologies. Mm-hmm. So if they look up betterthehunt.com, either way, c3mitts or betterthehunt.com.
Get cool. There either way.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time, guys. Yep. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Everyone, thanks for tuning in, watching, listening, all that good stuff.
Yep.
You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.